people. It is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, off for another day of broadcast excellence. And Anna off today, Sylvia Perez. Sylvia Perez, who you know her and you love her from the Fox 32. But I don't know. I've known her and loved her for decades. I don't know how this works out.
Do you know what's funny? People all the time. Oh, hello, Chicagoland, right? First, people all the time say, Sylvia Perez, I watch you all the time on Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
I get that a lot still. You know, I was on the air there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what my response is now? I'm like, thank you so much, but you need to switch over now and watch on Fox. Because now that Linda Yu has retired and Ron Majors is gone and now Jerry Taft's gone, come on over, try us out. I'm desperate.
Right, it is a changing of the guard. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. A total change of the guard in at the ABC 7.
Yes.
I will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, and I'm there from 12:58 in the afternoon until 1:22 in the afternoon, or sometimes like today 1:31 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And that's it. And I just mind my own business.
Yeah,
and show up and I do my thing.
And do they say they watch you all the time on?
I get a lot of I will say this, that you know, I worked for 3 years at Fox Chicago before mm-hmm. working at Channel 7. And it was the first weekend after I was on Channel 7 that people mm-hmm. started talking about it.
Yeah.
It was stopping me on the street. Channel 7 has that kind of a throw,
yeah.
You know?
I think that's why I forever will be associated with, you know, Channel 7.
It's a good thing to be associated with, but I get it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the thing is, you know what they need? That's what I always tell these people around here. You need billboards. You just need billboards.
That's all?
Billboards. Put me on the side of a bus. I see all these people going by this, and you know, half the people I see on the side of a bus were interns at some point.
That's sad but true, isn't it? Okay,
yeah.
You don't know about interns. I'm excited about this. So we recently hired Brittany Payton, as you
yes,
know.
Yes.
And Brittany was one of my interns. She was my intern and Linda Yu's intern on the 11 a.m. news at Channel 7, and now she's one of my co-anchors. How
isn't
about
that amazing?
That? Yeah. She's great, too.
I love that, though.
Yeah.
I love watching the people that... that you know you knew were mm-hmm. going to be great,
right?
Leapfrog you in your career. There's yeah. nothing more fun
right.
than watching that happen.
Well, and she's just so kind, and she's a natural on TV.
She's great.
So we're happy to have her at Fox 32 News
the mornings. I see what you're doing there.
Thank you.
Wow, she's promoting. Hey, whoever runs that store around there now, hey,
get her
a good job.
Give her the bell.
Yeah.
No.
She's right. Violetta's right. You need the bell. All right. Coming up on the... listen to this. Hey.
Yeah.
Well, before we get started on all the serious stuff of the day, because Ben Bradley, you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him.
We all have that reaction. Oh, we're going to talk to Ben Bradley. Oh, is it going to get weird? Ben Bradley is going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes from the WGN TV newsroom. A lot going on, actually, on a serious note in Chicago, so we will discuss that with him. And then Mr. Skilling is going to join us. Aaron Katursky is going to join us from New York. This is an interesting story. The Russian indictments have fallen on deaf ears in Russia. And apparently also at the White House, too. But we'll get to all that. And then Tom Skilling tells us if we're ever going to drag ourselves out of the muck here. Coming up at right about an hour from now. But this is the most exciting thing. We are heading over to the Museum of Broadcast Communications to broadcast live from the Saturday Night Live exhibit there. It's called The Experience. Saturday Night Live, The Experience. On Monday, March 5th. And we have got tickets for you to come join us. Now, why are we doing it on Monday? It's closed on Monday. So we get to basically, you know, run the place.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah. And we're doing the show. This from the actual stage. These actual original stages. We're going to play News or Ruse from the actual Jeopardy set from Saturday Night Live. The one where, you know, Sean Connery.
Very exciting.
Very exciting Jeopardy. And we have a live musical act from the live musical stage. It's going to be a ton of fun. This is going to be a Monday party like you've never, like you shouldn't actually party on a Monday.
Will there be liquor involved?
You know, Sylvia,
bring the Canarbo wagon with us.
I can't promise that it won't be coming out on a Monday. I don't know that, and honest to God, in the history of the 21 years of the Canarbo wagon, I don't think that the Canarbo wagon has ever rolled on a Monday.
We don't need the whole wagon, just a bottle or two.
Yeah, wow. Some beers and a couple bottles.
She's such
a bucket
cheap
of ice.
Date.
Leave the wagon at home.
She really doesn't understand the whole idea of the theater of the mind, does she? She really doesn't. Anyway, the point is that, well, I'll have more details on that. Anyway, it's such a cool thing. If you love Saturday Night Live, you're going to love this. It's a great thing to take part in. Your chance to gain access to our broadcast is coming up. All right, so we're going to be giving away tickets throughout the week. And that is, it's 2 weeks from today, right?
Very
the
5th fun.
Yeah, that's what it is. All right, Ben Bradley is standing by. He's thinking important news thoughts, and he's getting into position at Bradley Place right now, getting ready for, which, by the way, he told me is named after him. Is that true? Do you think that's true?
I believe everything Ben says.
Yes.
Not.
Not. Yeah, I think that's a better way to go with it. All right, Sylvia Perez is in the studio in for Anna DeVlantis today. Ben Bradley is on the remote camera, as they call them, right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. And you can see him on the CLTV as we're doing this all simultaneously. It's kind of fun. It's sort of interesting. I don't know, Sylvia. I don't know how you feel about being on television. I don't know if you...
No, I'm just watching Ben on TV right now. Hey, Ben,
Hi,
I see you.
Like
I see you there.
We're back together.
Yep, and Ro.
In
too.
Your right,
yes.
In your wildest dreams, Ben. All right. So, what? Wait. Let's talk a little bit about the. This is such a starkly big news week, and you guys created a. You know, obviously, last week was a gigantic news week, but there's this to me. Weeks like this are the fallout weeks, where things start to pop up as a result of you know, big life-changing and maybe historic, you know, historical local things occurring. And I just want to give you credit for breaking that story last week about the video of when the shooter of Commander Bauer was brought into 26th Street into the lockup, and he was being and he was applauded by other inmates and you know, the kind of reaction that he received. And I think it's a testament to, well, your fine work and your connectivity with a lot of the people to be able to get a hold of that material. But the other piece here is that they reacted so quickly. The county reacted so quickly and dispatched those people to far-flung places where they could be held and away from this, because it's beyond disgusting.
Yeah, it was just a couple of hours after a couple of inmates applauded the accused cop killer as he walked by them in that jail cell, that the Cook County jail staff, the sheriff's office there, shipped him downstate to the southern tip of Illinois, 285 miles away. And you ask, well, you know, what kind of punishment is that? Why would they do that? Well, it makes visitation more difficult, makes meeting with their lawyers more difficult. You know, is it punitive and emotional? Absolutely. Is it something that the sheriff's office could get some flack for because there are transportation costs associated with it? There are housing costs associated with it? Certainly, but obviously very quickly the sheriff's office said, we want to send a message, and that's why they shipped those guys south. And in terms of the accused shooter, they actually moved him down to the Kankakee County Jail, and they say that's not uncommon.
That's for his own safety, theoretically?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they could put him in some type of... you know, they have a unit, used to be in the old, one of the oldest jail cells, and one of the oldest cell blocks over at the Cook County Jail. Actually, they used to have the electric chair in the basement of that cell. You know which one I'm talking about, Ro, where if you're in the courthouse looking back, and it was on one of the upper floors of that particular cell house that they had the housing for people who were deemed either high profile, deemed a security risk, etc. So, you know, certainly they could have held him here, but they made the decision to get him out of town.
Yeah, I think that was a wise decision on a lot of levels. But I just think it's amazing that yesterday I had the honor to be at the Alderman O'Shea does his pancake breakfast every year for the Police Memorial Foundation, and yesterday was wildly raucous and attended, right? I mean, people were standing in line outside to get in just to give money and then walk away. It was down in Beverly, so obviously that's the Beverly Mount Greenwood area is there's a lot of police families down there, and it was one of the conversations people were having, though, was about that.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
And you talk about the, I think when you talk to police families and police officers, they're like, yeah, well, that doesn't surprise us. I think when the general population, like myself, sees that, it really shines a light somewhere. You know, and something goes off in your head, like, you know, this really is far more complicated and far tougher a job than we ever, ever, ever possibly could imagine. Because, you know, when police officers, you know, they go and they make a traffic stop or they do whatever they're going to do, there are people out there who, I mean, we know this because of what's happened in the last number of years, but you know, it's palpable to them that there are people out there that want to kill them and love the idea of hurting them.
Well, I think it's very easy for, you know, the majority of the population to think, well, gosh, doesn't everybody kind of deal with police the same? Or, you know, at worst, there's disrespect. But when you saw that video, when you saw those inmates applauding an accused cop killer, I think you're absolutely right, Ro. That really, in the span of about 5 seconds, told you about the mentality of some of the people that law enforcement is dealing with. And while it might be surprising to the public, it's certainly not surprising to those people who have to
right.
deal with
and
these
those are
folks.
People that law enforcement will have to deal with because of people who have that kind of attitude and that desire in their life. They're going to come in contact.
But you know what impacted me more than anything, even more than that video, was not only the funeral, which was absolutely beautiful, but the pictures from the police department of the procession of the police cars that mm-hmm. just, it was infinity, all of them mm-hmm. with their lights going. And you talk about the police officers being a brotherhood, and you understand why they are, because when things like this happen, they have each other, and they support each other, and mm-hmm. they are there for each other, because we just cannot understand where they're coming from.
Well, and long after, John Cass alluded to this in his column, long after kind of the media spotlight is gone, it's going to be those officers who are getting back into a car with each other. They're going to turn, and who's going to be riding with them, alongside them, long after all of this attention moves right. on? It's going to be their fellow officers. So people wonder why, why there's this code of silence and why cops protect each other when they are in a bad spot or have a bad break or make a bad decision. Well, it's moments like this when you feel like, you know, goodness, every single day we are up against this mentality, and can you blame us if we make a bad split-second decision?
Right.
Am I going to throw my guy, my buddy, who, you know, I know is out there trying just as hard as me every single day, am I going to be part of throwing him under the bus?
Right. You know, America likes right angles. You know, we want things to be predictable,
yeah.
right? And so, well, if somebody does the wrong thing, then they should have to pay the consequences for it. And it's a much more nuanced world. And, you know, and our perception of police is often dictated by what we see in movies and in television. And it's incredibly unrealistic. Some of it's flattering, but a lot of it's just really just unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And NYPD Blue, to me, was one of those shows that showed that nuance, where you got a sense of what that's really all about. And, you know, they don't really make a lot of shows like that. The Chicago PD, it's a lovely television show. I hope they make it for 100 more years here in Chicago. But it doesn't really, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks like they decided that they wanted to do Baywatch, but they couldn't get the California credit, so they came to Chicago to do it.
Everyone is very beautiful in that, whatever. Yeah. I think it's portrayed out of the old best, town hall district.
Best district.
Side,
that's
right?
Yeah, that's
my
that goodness. Would be a district of the year. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that you got these, you got, to Sylvia's point, mm-hmm. I couldn't help but get emotional. I don't like to say cry because it makes me feel weak,
right.
but to get emotional and break
but
down
your
in tears.
Your ducts were a little broken, yes.
When on Tuesday, when they were moving the commander's body from Northwestern mm-hmm. to the medical examiner's office, and you saw the response by not only Chicago police but county sheriff and by the fire department, the
yes.
Chicago Fire Department. Oh my
yeah.
God, how beautiful was that? By putting the ladders out and the American
yeah.
flag and that. You know, those are just images. Those are 9/11-esque mm-hmm. images of heroism, bravery, and togetherness. And then again, to your point of the procession of his body mm-hmm. to internment from the church in Bridgeport to his internment down in Alsip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving down there yesterday, driving through Beverly yesterday, and there was, you know, you still see all the signs. You mm-hmm. still see all the businesses.
The blue ribbons.
And I hope at some point when the awful fog lifts for Commander Bauer's family, they have the opportunity to kind of look back at some of those images, see some of the coverage, see what people in those early hours said about Commander Bauer, because, boy, is that not a wonderful testimony to who he is and who he was as a person. I thought that was so moving, as you said. We have seen those processions before when there's an officer down, and they really very quickly rally to support their own. And yeah. One other example of
As we should.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One other example of that is I heard from a cop friend of mine, I haven't confirmed this or not, but I know there was a benefit over at St. Ignatius where I think Commander Bauer went to school, and there was a benefit that was planned after the funeral, and they raised tens of thousands of dollars in just a couple of hours. And there's talk potentially of, you know, he used to run the mounted unit, and there's potentially talk of using that money to do something in his honor. So,
yeah, and they're naming the new police. There's a new unified police fire academy on the west side, near west side, and they're going to name that after him.
You know what else was gratifying? Not to look at this in terms of a rating, but I happened to, you know, WGN yesterday or Saturday carried his funeral live on TV, and I was curious to see, you know, how many people would watch that, and a lot of people did. Well, and that was wonderful to see.
Sylvia anchored your coverage on Fox, right?
I think WGN and Fox were the only stations that carried it live, which really surprised me. I thought some of the other stations, especially Channel 7, would carry it live, too, just because they were the pull feed for everyone. And I have to say, you know, I was on set, and so I saw all of it, and it was one of the most beautiful ceremonies. And the thing that impressed me the most was... We didn't carry his daughter who went up to read a scripture, because I'm not sure if that was accidentally not allowed to be given to us, or if they chose not to put that, you know, across the airwaves. But all I kept thinking is, here she is, a 13-year-old young girl who would often go to church with her father and read the scripture, but she was able to do that on the day of her father's funeral, which I believe is a testament to both Commander, his wife, and to what a fine young woman she must be also, because it's incredible that someone at that age would be able to carry that weight on a day like that.
Especially in front of all those people.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, thousands of people were in and around that church, and I believe that sanctuary doesn't hold, you know, more than, you know, certainly fewer than 1,000 people can fit actually into the church itself. And I just, and Dan Brandt, who's a longtime friend, he's the chaplain of the Chicago Police Department. You know, there's on social media and also in the national news, you know, there was coverage of his words and, you know, his condemnation, you know, for the he referred to the shooter here, compared him actually to a leper, you know, and how lepers needed to be in biblical times to be separated from the general population and all that. And then, you know, there's people out there that, you know, want to come to make something else out of that. And I got to just say, I think it was incredibly brave of him and accurate of him to be able to say, listen, there are people who should not be in the general population. That young man down in Florida, you know, is someone who should have never, ever, ever been in the position that he was in to hurt that many people. There were so many people along the way here who you know,
could have. But it's easy to say that after the fact.
Well,
comes when we want to start identifying people ahead of time, right? I mean, that's.
I understand. The point here we're making is that we need to be in a we need to be in a situation where when people do prove themselves to be not not in the spirit of the proceedings in society,
you're antisocial. I mean, that's the definition of the word, you're against the norms of society.
And when people when people do the kinds of things that, let's just go back to this Leggett guy, the shooter in this case, or the police commander, what you have there is a guy who'd been in and out of jail his entire life, and you know, the thing is that they still pull him over with a gun. They grab him up with a gun after he's already done a bid for armed robbery, after he's already done other kinds of, you know, one of the last things on his rap sheet was, you know, felon with a gun, and they just let people go because they go, well, there's just too many of them. Well, you got to start making examples of some people, because then it's going to get around like, well, maybe we shouldn't do that.
The same thing goes for the shooter in Florida, as far as, you know, a lot of people were not surprised. Everybody was saying, oh, we expected this was going to happen. Then the FBI did not follow up. Apparently, this young man, his mother lived in fear she was worried about him hurting her, and he was kicked out of school. So you kick him out of school, and then, you know, here's a young man. Then you just let him go. You don't follow up. You don't follow up with any kind of help. You don't surround him with people who might be able to help him. It's a bad situation, and it looks like we're not doing enough to help.
Right, and he was able to go out and legally purchase 10
right.
long guns.
And what's most amazing to me is the adopted family he was living with had no idea that this was going on.
Well, but they realized that, but they were holding his AR.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You're going to get a gun safe for that.
Right. And the man who he lived with said, well, you know, I was very careful about when I would let him handle guns.
And he'd asked to use it twice, and they let him have it once, but not the second time.
Right.
Unbelievable. All right. We're late here. I appreciate it, Ben. Thank you. We'll see you tonight on the WGN TV News.
You, Sylvia.
Yeah, you too, Ben. Good talking to you.
4, 5, 6, 9, 10 for you?
Just 4 today for me.
4 today. Yep. Oh, right, because there's...
He's a slacker.
There's Hawks hockey tonight. I forgot about that, too. All right, yeah. Okay, short timer. Get out. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ben Bradley. All right, we have got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got WGN News in 2.
Do you regret recusing yourself from anything related to Russia, sir?
I believe I did the right thing, the only thing I could do. I participated in this campaign, and as such, under explicit regulations of the Department of Justice, no one can participate in the investigation of a campaign in which they were an active participant.
That's the Attorney General Jeff Sessions today. And I would say this. All he had to say was, yeah, I'm really glad I recused myself. Oh, my God. Did you read the indictment? Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Aaron Katursky is following all this for ABC News in New York. Thank you, Aaron, for being with us, as always.
It's a pleasure.
Let's talk about the indictments kind of falling on deaf ears as far as the president is concerned. He spent a couple days not. And now, this is interesting. I did not realize this. He's down. Obviously, he's in Mar-a-Lago. We all knew that. But the White House chose that he was not going to golf on Saturday and Sunday of this week. And because they did not want him to, they thought it would not be optically correct in the aftermath of the shootings down in Florida. However, today is a day where many people are being buried as a result of this, and he's out golfing today. So I don't understand.
Well, I think you're right about the optics, and the White House made a point of saying that he was meeting with certain people to discuss some ideas. We know that one of them was, you know, Geraldo Rivera, to talk about, you know, an idea that Senator Dianne Feinstein had about, you know, a juvenile assault weapons ban, something like that. But we know that he clearly had things on his mind that weren't the Florida shooting, because he became series of tweets just obsessed with the Russia investigation, seeing the Florida school shooting in the context of the Russia investigation, where he said that the FBI was too busy obsessing over the Russia case to, you know, properly deal with a tip that came in about the Florida school shooter.
Can I stop on that point for a second? Because
please.
When I read that over the weekend, thanks, Aaron. I've tried to limit how enraged I get when I just look at Twitter. So I'm trying to remain calm. I got this whole new thing. I got a Fitbit and I look at my pulse and all that. But I was enraged when I saw that, because that is, first of all, not even remotely accurate, because that's not how this system works. And he would know that. On his most basic day, when they explained to him, on his first days in office, when they explained to him how the FBI works and how the different, they have these FBI headquarters essentially all over the country, and how each one of these FBI areas operates, and they combine with the main FBI in Washington, D.C., those field agents in Florida would have nothing to do whatsoever with the Russia investigation. And that is just on a primary, that's day one, he would know that. And to be as cynical and as self-protective of his own image in that, and use the tragedy of this as a cover for the fact that he's now been called out for this being a real deal is, I was enraged. Now I'm going to look at my right now. 75. 75, Sylvia. My pulse is 75.
That's how upset you are.
It was 62 just a few minutes ago. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think, Roy, the outrage was shared by many in South Florida, including one student from the school who tweeted a similar sentiment. Like, 17 of my classmates are dead, and you're talking about the Russia investigation. You know, kind of have a heart. And that seemed to be the most viral of the responses. But I'm, you know, look, the president is clearly in the Russia case, looking for any opportunity he can to tout his message, which was and still continues to be no collusion, no obstruction. And when the indictment of these 13 Russians came out and the deputy attorney general said publicly the indictment does not allege any collusion, the president seized on that, even though clearly there are other parts of the investigation that continue. And the indictment did mention perhaps unwitting collusion by by Trump associates who are duped along with every other, you know, 126 million other Americans.
Right. That he could blame if he wants to blame the FBI for something. He could, or he wants to blame the Obama administration. He seems to like to do that too. They, you know, he could say, listen, they could have been more helpful to us than they were. The only problem with that is there may have been instances where they were reaching out. Right. I mean, do you remember when the FBI reached out directly to the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the Clinton campaign was like, no. They didn't believe them. They literally didn't pick up the phone on them, essentially. And about the fact that their servers had been hacked, or the DNC, the same thing. So, yeah. You know, that's when you get these, one of these problems with these campaigns, period, is that once you're in the campaign, everybody's your enemy, right? Unless you're your friend. And apparently even in the Trump campaign, everybody in the campaign, everybody was an enemy of everybody else that was in the campaign too. So it was like, it would be a little hard to tell. However, you got a couple things. Whether they were knowingly colluding, this is not conspiring, is actually the technical term here, the legal term,
right.
Is not relevant anymore. What's relevant is once they found out what was going on, did they do anything to stop it? And did he try to obstruct this investigation? Even if he believes he had nothing wrong here, did he try to obstruct it? And was at there any point in Donald Trump's, these are the two questions that are being asked. The obstruction one, which we've all laid out, and you've got a couple of different interesting, you got him rewriting the history of what that meeting was like in New York, and then just saying to the Russians, hey, don't worry, I had to fire him. I had to get rid of Comey because
it looks bad.
And now that, you know, the pressure's off, right?
Right.
The heat is off. Well, I mean, just admit it. Just go, it's, and he says it to the Russians. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Anyway, hold on, I'm checking. Hold on, 74 now. Now it's up to 74. All right, go ahead.
All right, do I need to worry?
My resting heart rate should be much lower than I'm sitting, Aaron. Go ahead.
All right. The president's obsession, clearly, with the Russia case is trying to undermine it or trying to repeat his mantra, and so that no matter what comes out from the special counsel, he's somehow inoculated. And I think that's what happened with this, you know, indictment. It's kind of the same strategy the Kremlin's been using. We heard from the Kremlin that the indictment lacked any evidence to suggest that the Russian government was involved, and which is fine. But nobody, I don't think anybody cares if Putin directed it, tacitly approved it, wasn't involved, doesn't matter. It's not like the people that are safeguarding the next election are suddenly going to say, oh, Kremlin says we're not involved, I guess we're good then. The people are reading in the indictment a lot of things that may or may not be actually in there. And for the special counsel, this was his way to lay out what he's been able to find about what the Russians actually did. And we know there are separate pieces of the investigation that focus on the actions or inactions or the potentially obstructionist actions of those connected to the Trump campaign. That part obviously continues.
All right. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York City. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Serenity now.
I'm doing it right now. Oh, look at that. No, you said I'm down to 68. Oh, Aaron, you see, you saved my life. Not the first time. Won't be the last. Thank you. Goodbye.
So long.
This is going to continue this way, too, until, you know, something solid comes out. Because the reality is, every time some information is put out, if it's not specifically detailed pointing the finger at the White House, our president is a master at making it look as if he's not involved, I think, in something. No matter what the situation is.
You know, all right, now, you're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You've raised the children now to adulthood,
right?
Essentially, and you know, when they're eight, they are the worst cover uppers of all times.
Well, they lied through teenage years too, though.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
But sometimes
liars.
They get a little bit better in their teen years. Well, sometimes. I mean, not always. There's some. You know, you could definitely tell.
Yeah.
But we can. But you see, the thing is, we can see it here. You could see it here. He's obfuscating, right? And the thing is, he's a 71-year-old man doing this as the president of the United States. I wouldn't do this if I were him. I would lay low. Don't keep people who have to keep telling you how innocent they are.
Mm-hmm. Right. He does protest too much. There's something to be said.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people who don't agree with what we're saying, Ro.
They're wrong.
A lot of people.
I'm sorry, but they're wrong.
That's why I love you.
They're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to be. But I will tell you that their kids and their friends all believe that they are wrong. And then there will be a point in time where some of them, there are people who will never, ever admit that they made a mistake.
Absolutely not.
And there are people with really severe personality disorders that, you know, just love the idea of this because they like the hatred of it and all the negative and they like the idea that now they can, they feel like this is emboldening them to be able to publicly espouse their sad and angry emotions. But for the people who just, you know, we want to change and we want change and we want it, and you know, they like his economic policies and all of that, you got to see how potentially damaging this kind of behavior is in the long run. And unfortunately, those are the people, these are the, you know, the somewhat normalized human beings who love what Donald Trump stands for, are going to realize at some point that he was not the best messenger for the message that they wanted to send.
It's really tough, though, because I think this has changed the way we deal with each other, not only when it comes to politics, but just in general. I think you just take social media, quick example. If you post something that maybe somebody doesn't agree with, all of a sudden you're being attacked.
Yeah, well, who cares?
You know?
It's digital. It's a bunch of it's a words by half the way I look at it now, it's Russian bots.
Yeah.
How do I know who they are? What do I care? And especially if they're anonymous.
But
what do I give a
they're
crap?
They're so nasty and mean.
So people are nasty.
You're like, Rose, like, bring it on, people. Bring
what
it on.
What do I care? You're a bunch of either you're getting paid to do it, but if you really are just sitting around in your basement doing that, then, you know, I win.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Sylvia Perez is with us from the Fox, the 30 and the 2.
Fox 30 and the 2. Hey, Ro, thanks for having me on again. Always love working with you. Always fun.
No, it's not. But it's
not?
Sylvia does this because she's court ordered. It was that speeding thing, and then you forgot to go to court, and the next thing you know,
this is your community service.
This is her community service, right?
Community service.
They told her she's got to do 8 hours of it a year, so she fills in a couple times a year and just does it.
Well, thank God it's with us. We'll take that.
Yeah. Best punishment ever.
Well, all right. By the way, hey, 2 weeks from today, we are heading to the Museum of Broadcast Communications to broadcast live from the Saturday Night Live exhibit. I know Bill and Wendy are doing this on Wednesday. We're doing it 2 weeks from today, and we are going, and we're making it into quite a party. And you can join us for this party. Live band, big show, big Saturday Night Live-ish kind of show around it. And you might, if you join us, you might even be able to play News or Ruse from the Saturday Night Live Jeopardy set.
Monday guest appearance by the Knarble Wagon, which we're all really excited about.
We actually have a plan for that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see.
I have not seen that exhibit, and I've heard great things about it. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It's supposed to be excellent. Huh. Yeah. I've heard great reviews. Anybody seen it?
Have not. Looking forward to it. But yeah, everybody that's been there says it's incredible and you got to go. So I can't wait to do the show there.
I mean, I've seen it. I have been, I mean, but when it's like not fully active, I've walked the space as we were getting ready for this.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I've heard it's fantastic.
It's amazing. Yeah. The space, you can't believe what you're looking at. But I've been to Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And they take you through the entire experience like you're going to Saturday Night Live. Because there's a whole thing to it. There's a whole tradition. There's a whole protocol. When you go to Saturday Night Live, what happens? Where you line up at 30 Rockefeller Center, and then they take you in, and you wait in this elevator hallway, and then the elevators take you up to the 8th floor to take you up to the broadcast, and they do the exact same thing.
Cool.
They make the whole thing.
So
it looks just like 30 Rock. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And then they do some other tricks along the way that are super, super, super cool. Yeah, this was in New York for a year before it came here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, everybody's been saying it's great. I need to get over there.
All right. Violetta's got something?
Yeah, could I jump in here?
Yes.
There's a car fire on the inbound Edens right now at Old Orchard. All lanes blocked as crews are responding to that. Nobody getting by inbound Edens near Old Orchard.
All right. Tom Skilling joins us right now from the WGN Weather Center.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Sylvia.
Hey, Tom Skilling. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing? Happy Monday. You know, it's kind of funny. I guess the newsroom and transition, we recorded the forecast on the phone and because we couldn't get the direct line coming in. But
Tom, I've told you this, and I'm going to tell you this again, and Sylvia will learn this now, because if you fill in here over the next couple of months, expect a bumpy ride.
Right.
We're moving our studio for the first time since the mid-1980s, when WGN moved back downtown from Bradley Place, where Tom works, up on the northwest side of Chicago. This studio transition now moves us across the river near you.
Yes,
actually,
excited to have you over there
to the 303 Wacker Building. It's going to be beautiful. But what they do in a situation like this is they break down a bunch of the equipment, they move it over there, and they get it working over there, and they keep one studio live and fully working, and it becomes the only thing left in the building that's working, and that would be this studio and all the associated control rooms to this studio. Well, you know, the engineers are over there working on that stuff.
I know.
So when something goes wrong, you call them, and it's not too far.
Right.
But it's at least, I mean, if they sprint, and we have athletic people working in the engineering department, don't you worry about it. But if they sprint, you know, it's still 10 minutes before they can get here, right?
Well,
it's a little something.
Ro, it's time to engage that old tried and true technique, bang on something if it doesn't work. I told you one time when I worked up in Madison, they had a monitor in one of the TV control rooms that didn't work. So they had a pulley system where the guy sitting behind the board would pull a rope, and that would pull a hammer back, and then it would bang into the TV set. and the picture, sure enough, would clear up. And he said, you know, this is the first rule of engineering, and that is if at first it doesn't work, bang it. You know, so we'll be banging a lot of stuff here for a couple of
weeks.
There
was some on Friday.
Yeah.
We had some serious banging here. There have been some moments, and we're kind of in that a little bit now too. And things are spread out, so I think we're around the 1st of May is when we're going to be transitioning completely over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be, I'm told, we're gonna do a thing. We're gonna actually start the show here.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever day this is going to be, and then end the show there.
Wow.
Walk over during the show.
Transit over to the new facility. I think this is very exciting. You've got to be really excited about this, because it's always fun to go into a brand spanking new studio.
Oh, yeah. And then the first 2 months of that, nothing works either.
Right, exactly.
Tom, you should see his face when you were saying, you've got to be really excited about this.
Sylvia, we all know, don't we, that when a new computer comes in, then there's about 2 weeks of bugs that are
at least
that are being worked out.
2 months.
Software and passwords that aren't in there and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you think about the complexity of moving an operation like WGN Radio or any radio station, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
I think when WGN is a unique circumstance here, because this radio station has to be designed by its just by its very nature to be able to do anything a radio station could do.
It's
cannot
true.
Have cannot be less of a capability than any other than every other format, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they want to make sure that we are capable of
everything,
full range of things, live performance space. There's going to be a beautiful live performance space here for bands and for you know, other kinds of, you know, theatrical presentations and things like that. It's just sort of the nature of this animal, right? In Chicago, it's it has always been everything in this city. It's the it's, you know, the premier radio station. It's a thing where when something happens in Chicago, people tune in to hear to find
here?
Out what's going
sure.
on. And so this is what, so it's, you know, it's a great honor to be a part of it. It's also a really a greatest honor for me to be a part of helping plan what these guys are doing over there, or at least, you know, making suggestions. I don't, I wouldn't say helping plan, because I make suggestions and then they go, what? I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I had a whole list. I gave the engineer a whole list of things that I think would be very helpful.
You know what's really fun, though, is given the quality of the engineering staff and all the rest, and the kind of resources that WGN can bring to bear to a move like this, I mean, this studio, can you imagine? This will be the studio that everybody dreamed about that yeah. was never built originally. And, you know, with all this new technology that's been incorporated in all these broadcast facilities over the years here. And
yeah,
now,
it's totally different.
It'd be state of the art.
Yeah.
You know?
And they and we do upstairs, down in the Streetside studio here, the Allstate
yeah.
Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven right here. Mm-hmm. We have, this was built in the mid-1980s, and the equipment is much of it from that era,
yeah.
and the world has changed, but upstairs they've got state-of-the-art beautiful studios, which when I went up there last week, and I'm like, I want to go work out of one of those studios for something for a side project.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, it's gone. It's already moved over.
Oh, is that
they're
right?
moving some of the stuff over now. And so that takes forever. So this will be this, I don't know. You know, they're going to make this into a Tasty Freeze or something, I think. I'm not quite sure.
This is a prime spot. You. Okay. Are you going to have a street side studio?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
I don't get to come by and look at you anymore.
There was talk of us doing that mm-hmm. on in your building, actually. Actually, part of your Fox complex
right.
Was going to be available to us. It
I
would
had
be
heard that.
One floor above the street, mm-hmm. and you know, sort of like looking over it, which you guys use
we
for
use
stuff.
We use now. We call
yeah.
it Studio 32. Yeah, they're
right.
trying to fix it up so we can use it more, but it's a great location.
That's originally where we were going to move. That did not work out.
Yeah, but the views in our new studios are incredible.
Oh,
because
yeah.
one's looking east over Navy Pier, and then west right. is basically downtown and
oh, I know.
West
Indian
of the
river.
It's,
yeah.
it's awesome.
I know.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Duffy posted some of the shots on Duffy, production director extraordinaire, posted some shots on Facebook a couple weeks ago. And boy, what a view you guys are going to have. I thought the Showcase studio was second to none. The views you guys are going to have.
Oh, they're amazing.
Are just
but
amazing.
Sometimes you get the view of other people's anatomy. And it's just,
yeah.
I got to be honest. It's yeah. not what it's all cracked up to be, if you know what I
know.
I mean. Yeah.
You know, the one thing is, Ro, are they constructing a tunnel for Creepy to get over?
Oh, he's always going to be there.
Is
he's
he?
Always going to be there.
He's going to be there. And Coach Fox
we are,
will be,
we're,
know how to get there.
The actually, the funny thing is, Creepy Uncle's going to be, as you know, Kevin knows, he has to go down in the basement to take
right.
care of him all the time.
Feed him. Yeah.
Knock three times on the door.
One floor below us is the executive offices of the of what is now the Tribune Company, Tribune Media Company.
Wow.
Will eventually be somebody else. And so we're going to move him right into the CEO's office down there.
They'll love him.
Yeah. They might.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right up their alley, I think.
Yeah. He's a very personable guy. I just think the environment might smell a little or something. I don't know. It seems kind of swampy.
Yeah, but we're moving him into there. So we have all kinds of. Don't tell him though. He's out right now. He's
a great chef. You get some nice scents coming. Some fried spam situation going on.
Sylvia, have you ever met Creepy?
Unfortunately, I have.
I see.
Yeah, he's sitting right here. Is what she's saying.
Yeah.
That's basically what she just said, Tom.
Yeah.
I got that. Sylvia and I have known each other a very long time.
I see.
Yeah, she's been through a lot.
I see.
Yeah.
I just want to know if you're going to get a prime corner office being the big man on campus, Ro Khan.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You know what? I have not asked that yet.
You haven't asked?
I haven't asked about my office is going
to
be.
Who do I talk to? Just tell me.
Mr. Khan demands a corner office.
Yeah. I'm sure that goes over well.
Yeah. Well, Sylvia, as you know, as everybody here knows, mm-hmm. I maintain an office off premises here, and then I come in to do the show. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't even make it in. I sometimes just do it from the office.
Oh, people have no idea. So I arrived today, Tom Skilling, expecting this grand welcome, Sylvia.
And right.
I'm waiting. And all of a sudden, 1 minute before 3, Rose shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, he's got a full production facility in his home. He can.
Yes, yeah. He does. Yes.
In fact, there have been times that I didn't realize it. I'd be talking to Anna and Ro, and I didn't realize that Ro wasn't there next to Anna. It sounded like he was. Well, you know, people think we're talking.
People don't have to know where I am at all times.
I know. Creepy.
I did. Don't invite him up here right now. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. I've done shows over the years. I did a show in the 90s with a co-host that it was never for a year we were together, and we were only in the same studio maybe twice in a year.
Wow.
And you would have never known it.
Yeah, it's like magic, you know, with the technology that's
around. The kids, I mean, you know, Violetta and Kevin are... Well, Kevin right now is in Phoenix.
I'm in Sloan Park right now doing the show.
Which is amazing. I mean, that really is. Because, Kevin, you sound like you're right there, you know. And yet here you are. How's the weather down there, by the way? You happy with it?
Aren't you a weatherman, Tom?
I know. I'm not as happy as I normally am when I come out here. It's gray and cloudy right now. He knew what he was doing.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the... the weather's been spotty out there.
Chilly,
right?
Too.
Yes. Yeah, the weekend was great. It was low 70s and sunny. But other than that, we've had cloudy skies and rain and just not what you'd expect from...
No.
Arizona and Phoenix.
See, that trough, when those troughs dig into the west, then we warm up and turn wet and get unseasonably mild. So that's why we're headed for 60 and 64 tomorrow. So it'll
might be warmer there than here.
64 tomorrow?
That's true. 64 tomorrow.
We have a high of, I think, 59 or 60 tomorrow. So you guys are actually going to be...
Well, they got frost and freeze warnings up in California. In fact, hard freeze warnings out up there. And, you know, that's an area of the country just like Phoenix, where you are, Kevin, where there really hasn't been much winter this year. So this is quite a change.
All right.
I'll survive.
I know.
But it's going to be rainy, though, tomorrow, right?
Yes.
We're
going to have waves of rain, 2 to 4 inches of it. And, you know, that falls on frozen ground, so the stuff has nowhere to go but run off. And with ice flows in the rivers, you worry about some damming there. So that's what the flood watches are all about through tomorrow night.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then and then it's going to get colder again.
Yeah, it'll, you know, seasonably so, and still be later in the week back above normal. We'll have another rain system kind of warm us into the 40s on Friday. But we're talking about upper 30s. Wednesday and Thursday, and probably warmer as you go south in our southern suburbs, low and mid-40s there.
Okay.
But be a little wind off the lake. Mm. And we may have some thunder in this, which is quite interesting.
But thunder showers, storms. Not thunder snow.
No, that's right.
Okay.
You're right.
Because thunder snow, although it's exciting.
Yes, we don't need that.
Yes. It ends up accumulating about 60 or 70 feet.
That's right.
So what you end up with.
It's not good.
All right. Tom, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Sylvia. See you later. Good to talk to you, Sylvia. See you guys.
Weekend might be over, but the party is just getting started. Hawks, Kings tonight in a primetime clash on WGN TV at 7. And also WGN Radio at 7, too. Is that okay to say? I'm not supposed to say that, too.
Is that bad?
I don't know.
Don't ad lib.
We'll allow it.
Ad lib.
Whatever. Say? Either way.
Don't ad lib.
Don't do that thing.
Yeah. Right. I know. Oh, you with your fancy words. By the way, I cannot believe that we've gotten through, almost 2 hours of this program, and Violetta has not mentioned, as Sylvia Perez is in for Anna DeVlantis today, that this is her birthday week. I can't believe that she hasn't mentioned
it. It's a slow start to the birthday week. I'm just trying to save up my energy for the end of the week.
Oh, so what have you been doing to celebrate? And may I ask how old you are?
Sure.
Wait till you find out. Wait till you hear that. What would you guess? I'd like you to guess.
That's okay. Let me guess.
Yeah, no.
I'm
going to
guess. Oh, she's so cute, isn't
Thanks.
She?
Yeah.
Don't give your fake ID age, Violetta. Give your actual.
I always forget that birthday anyway.
Okay, I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna say she's 23.
I love you. God bless your heart. I'm turning 26. Yeah,
she's turning 26.
Yeah. I'm old.
Wow, mm-hmm. Poor thing.
Mm-hmm. I found my first gray hair just a couple weeks ago.
So in the meantime, how have you been celebrating this big birthday?
Well,
this marked birthday, 26.
Yeah. Well, last year was
where she passes the quarter century mark, right? This is, oh my God, it's all over from here.
No.
It's the end of the 20s.
Now. I bet you can't stay up late on regular nights anymore, huh? That 26-year-old thing gets you every time.
The next morning's definitely more difficult as I age. Yeah.
That's true. Wait, it's exponential 30.
Really?
That actually is exponential 30. It hits right there.
Got to stay hydrated with the water. Mm-hmm. I haven't, I went to the Bulls game with some friends. That was one of my birthday celebrations. I had cupcakes there. I was actually
Did the Bulls bring you cupcakes? Because they're not doing anything else on the court, so they might as well been doing that.
No. That was in David Hochberg's suite, actually. Thanks for that. And then, what else did I do? I don't know. Every day is just kind of, something special.
Ro, are you taking her out for dinner to celebrate? When she's 26.
Yeah, here's the thing. We got to push it to next week, though. This is really going to upset her.
Because?
Because Kevin's not back until Kevin had, because of the White Sox acquisition, we had to, Kevin's in Arizona for one more week. So we don't get to do
Kevin, you ruin everything.
I'm sorry, Violetta. Okay, but think of it this way. Your birthday week celebration will move
continues
into
on.
Next. Yeah, okay, continues on.
That's fine.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
yes,
please.
Of course.
Okay. Linkin Park karaoke. Have you been?
No, that sounds nice.
You get your own private room. You can only have to karaoke in front of each other. They have light up tambourines. They have monitors on the walls with all the words, and a library full of songs. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Is there a bar?
Yes.
I hate you.
That does sound really fun.
I don't know why we invited you to do this show today.
My go-to karaoke song is Lucky by Britney Spears, so I'm very good at it.
Ro, what's yours?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What's yours, Ro?
Yeah, I don't care. Either.
Or Pour Some Sugar on Me. That's my other go-to.
Oh,
Pour Some
Violetta, Ro and I will judge Violetta, Anna, and Judy in the karaoke competition because I'm not doing the karaoke.
You need to go as a team. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'll do the judging. I don't know if
I'm
actually
going to perform. It's like the Trump Organization Christmas party right there where all the guys sit around and
No. They have alcohol involved, so that helps you to be more excited.
More.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me suggest something. I could drop the kids off for the karaoke afterwards.
I really like the idea, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
look at what
I'm
you
in.
Just did. Why? You know what? I got to just tell you something. Sylvia Perez is one of the sweetest, certainly most competent, great television anchors this town has ever seen.
But
dazzlingly beautiful, dazzlingly great journalist, all of that. But she is a poop stirrer of the highest order.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean?
It's my birthday. Get behind the idea. It was a wonderful suggestion.
I went there for my birthday and had a blast.
I love the idea of it.
Mm-hmm. You should. It's fun. And you know what? Music makes you feel good. All those endorphins that are released.
Especially when I'm singing. Here we go. Wait, how does this start, though? I don't have the words.
I'll just go
to the chorus. No, we're not at the chorus yet. Can you fast forward?
She will be perfect at this.
This is great.
I wish you guys could see her.
Oh, wait. Okay, hold on.
This is exactly how the night's going to go. She just did right there? Thank you, Sylvia.
Wait, hold on.
Okay, help me. Give me at least one word.
Pour Some Sugar on Me.
pour some sugar on me in the name of love. I'm feeling it. Couple cocktails deep, you will be singing along.
It is a good time.
Those are really the only words I can use. Gimme Lucky, though, by Britney Spears. That one I know all the words to.
Oh, my God.
So this is what you guys do on the air to entertain those who are driving home right now to the suburbs, right?
Yeah, this is what we do, yeah. Yeah, this is what has made this one of the most successful radio stations mm-hmm. in the history of the medium.
There you go.
Is exactly this kind of entertainment.
It's the beginning of the end right here.
Karaoke with no words on the radio. Yeah. Coming up next.
I just right now, I would imagine in heaven somewhere, Uncle Bobby and Wally Phillips are getting together going, what can we do about this? Is there something we can do about this? Can we haunt the new studios? What can we do? All right. Here we go. Let's try this now.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. This is a story about a girl named Lucky. Here we go. Early morning, she wakes up with a knock, knock, knock on the door. Time for makeup, perfect smile, but there's no one there to wake her up. Lucky, but why does she cry?
Louder.
Here we go. And they say she's so lucky. She's a star, but she cries in her lonely heart. That one really made me nervous, but I do like that song.
This is a 50,000-watt radio station.
Oh, my.
I'm surprised that there has not yet been.
Is Todd Manley knocking at the studio door right now?
You know what? The beauty of this is it's President's Day, and there's like nobody in the corporate offices because there was, and it's seven floors. Although, they're on your floor. They could have run in and actually dragged her off her microphone.
My heart's racing. Was it really bad? I couldn't hear myself.
It was beautiful.
Oh, no, it was great.
You know when you're screaming in the shower, it sounds really good, and then... And then your windows get rolled down on a stop sign, and you're like, whoa.
And the good thing, there's not a lot of commuters today, too, right? Everybody stayed home. It's
Okay. All right.
You guys want to go for a while.
You're looking for the positive here. I like that. It's the only thing about the silver lining here. Yeah, there's not a lot of people listening right now, so you can get away with this.
It's a great story, though. You should look up that song if you haven't yet
heard it. What's
it about? It's about a girl named Lucky, and she was always very lucky, but then she wasn't happy at home alone.
Do you see the poop that is being stirred here? Are you seeing what? Do you see what Sylvia's doing here? So you're falling for it. She's
because
you know,
she's good.
Yeah. Oh, she's an assassin. You had no idea when you're talking to her. I never saw it coming.
Like a train
like a dart to the back of the neck.
Never saw it coming.
Down.
Right, and then you're like, oh.
Lincoln Park karaoke.
Oh, we'll be there. Uh-huh. I'll practice too before I get there.
Let me know.
Yes, you're definitely.
Oh, look at it. Now look at this.
I'll be there.
So you can stir more when you get there. Is that what you're going to do?
I don't karaoke in public, but I'll go there because it's a room that you're only amongst friends, and there's no judging. Unlike what's happening right now.
These people are friends?
Exactly. They're going to make fun of me, Sylvia.
I won't let them.
Okay.
Oh God. Oh God.
You better watch it, Ro.
Oh God.
She's on my side now.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I know.
So how does this story end with Lucky, Violetta?
No. Here's what I want. I want Violetta next year to get invited. I want this to turn into such a thing that next year she's invited to sing the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
I would not have done it as good as Fergie.
Oh, say, does that star spangled banner?
Oh God! The reaction. You know, you're not supposed to just play part of the national anthem. By the way, it's sort of a protocol. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, it's in honor of the nation that we stop
right.
it.
Mm. By the way, my mom texted me. And she said, "I love your singing, honey."
Oh,
that's a good mother.
Best.
That's
Thanks,
a loving,
love
loving
you.
Mother. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
She's also the same person that took my recorder away when I was practicing by the patio at the restaurant when I was a little kid. But whatever. Scaring away the customers.
Can your mom bring cabbage rolls in for your birthday?
Were you in traditional Serbian garb while you were doing this?
No,
and were
I did not.
People putting like dollar bills down like in a bucket in front of you?
I had to practice in the alley, okay?
Oh, that's a sad story.
Yeah.
That girl on the north side of Chicago in traditional Serbian garb playing the recorder in the alley by herself.
Broncos gathering a crowd.
That's a sad.
Charging admission to the alley.
Yeah.
He kicked me to the curb, literally.
All right.
We got to go.
Thanks, Syl.
Yes, anytime. But why would Fergie think she wants to put a spin on that? I don't get it, right?
Right. We'll talk reinvent
about
the
save that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. It's coming up in the top 5 at 5. But we can't get the top 5 at 5 until we get to 5 o'clock, and that's right around the corner. First of all, let's find out what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the top of the hour.
Trump pointing the finger at Obama. We'll have that coming up from the WGN newsroom.
No!
I know. Shocking that he's pointing the finger at anyone.
He's blaming Obama?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have to ask for what.
On President's Day.
The world.
Thanks, Obama.
By the way, that's my day. I don't think you people notice. I'm president. It's my day. Donald Trump is to President's Day what Violetta is to birthdays. Show with Anna DeVlantis, starring Sylvia Perez today, as Anna's taking a few days off around the President's Day holiday.
It's my holiday, by the way. You're welcome. Thank you.
Spending the day with her family, right?
She is, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Looking for gifts. Where are my gifts for President's Day? Right. Waking up like a kid in Christmas morning.
She's actually out trying to find Violetta the perfect
26-year-old gift.
Yes, birthday gift, because Violetta doesn't, you know, this is, as we knew, when we all learned on February 1st, which now seems like it was a year ago, even though it was only 20 days ago, we have all now learned that this was Violetta's birthday month, because she sent us all a text.
I also mentioned it on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
once in a while. Yeah, that she'd receive. Who gives you a birthday free donut or something?
No. I got some free pretzels from Auntie Anne's.
Oh, yeah.
Ding. Uh-huh. Then I also got 20% off a coupon for BCBG, but they're only online now. Still okay. Ding. And then I also got, what did I just get in the mail? Something from Blue Apron. Yeah, just
okay.
Really coming in strong this year on the coupons.
Oh God. I can't believe I know. I know what you're thinking. If you're in your car, you're at home, wherever you are right now listening to this. Why do I let her do this? I don't know. I don't know the answer. By the way, we're heading to the Museum of Broadcast Communications, broadcast live from the Saturday Night Live experience on Monday, March 5th. You're going to want to be a part of this, because it's going to be a party of a show. 2 weeks from today, we're giving away tickets. It's a limited audience that we can have, but it's like the Saturday Night Live audience. You think it's like a huge audience. It's a very small audience. It's like 75 mm-hmm. people. And we're doing, but it's going to be a rockin' 75. So we're going to be giving away tickets coming up in just a little bit on this very radio program. By the way, the Museum of Broadcast Communication is located 360 North State Street. And that SNL experience is, I've seen it. I've not had that, you know, the thing wasn't fully turned on. I didn't go through it as a museum guest, but I saw what it's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a sound check with it because they feature. There's a special on the musical acts. There's a special segment that is on, groundbreaking moments from the main stage, and then some of the other bits and the Jeopardy stage. And mm-hmm. it's really...
So you're sitting in the audience, and there's these videos playing of these different things? Is that what,
it's
doing?
A walking tour. They take you through the entire week of Saturday Night Live. So you enter into what... And it looks just like 30 Rock, like mm-hmm. the offices and the whole thing at Saturday Night Live. And then it takes you through Monday when the guest shows up and all the writers sit around Lorne Michaels' office. And then on Tuesday when the writers write the stuff and they start to build the sets and the wardrobe. And there's the blank in a box that's there. There's all kinds of really cool stuff. Killer Bee outfit, the Land Shark, you know, things famous, iconic Saturday Night Live bits. And then they take you to the shop where they make the sets. It's a really cool... The guy who's been designing the set since 1975
mm-hmm.
is still alive, still doing it. He's 90 and he's still doing it.
I love that you guys are doing your show out there. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe if you're the 19th caller coming up, you might be able
to get lucky.
You might get, yeah. All right. That's I don't think. You know what? You might know somebody. Not me, but Violetta will let you in.
I'll get you in because you're helping me with my birthday.
Yeah, because you've been so sweet to her to help her with all this, which drives everybody nuts on the program. All right, are you ready? Because if it's 5 o'clock...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at...
Number five.
Drain the NRA! Drain the NRA! Drain the NRA!
Political pressure is growing against the NRA and its allies in the wake of last week's school shooting in Florida. In L.A. today, a grassroots group called Drain the NRA. Oh, I don't know if I ever believe in grassroots anymore. You see what happens on the Facebook?
On the Facebook.
If it's grassroots, it's probably, you know, Putin's idea. I don't know. What is it?
Bot.
Yeah. But they held a rally denouncing. What is interesting, though, is you do see... You saw the emotions, the real, the raw, the true impact, the authentic impact of this from the students and their families and some other folks down in Florida that were like, we just cannot, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
Because Florida has been struck very dramatically this year. I mean, people, I think, you know, there's so many of these now. You forget. You forget about the Texas church shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Score dead in that. The Orlando nightclub shooting, right? These things are, you know, there's two, and the weapon of choice is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what are we going to do about that? Is there something that's commonsensical about restricting the sale of this particular item? I mean, even some of the most ardent gun supporters, I'm a gun owner. I'm not a member of the NRA. The NRA to me has always been a political arm for it's the weapons lobby. And they, you know, and I don't know that they're always in the right on the positions that they take. I support the Second Amendment. A demented 18-year-old getting his hands on 10 long guns, including the AR-15. I don't understand the need for that.
I have read that they were saying that AR-15 has become so popular because people who aren't as familiar with guns, that's their go-to because they have seen what happens when those are used in mass shootings. And if that's what they have in mind, that becomes their go-to.
Right. It is truly a weapon of war. And then they'll always say to people, well, you know, it's a hunting weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then a politician will be asked, as they were over the last weekend and this weekend, well, do you need that to hunt? And some, they'll go, well, you know, some hunters do use them. Really? I mean, before 1947, you didn't need it. There were hunters. They were still hunting with rifles, right? I mean, if you need 30 rounds to be able to take down that deer, you're not particularly good at what you're doing. And it's going to be very hard to get the slugs out of the venison.
It's incredible. And I think that even some people who are big Second Amendment believers are at this point starting to question the need for weapons like that.
Yeah, for that particular... Now, the argument is, well, they'll use something else. Okay.
Right.
All right. But in this particular case, this does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the bump stock legislation. Who is in favor of the bump stock? Except for people who go, it's fun to have a fully automatic weapon. But the fully automatic weapon is not available. You cannot go buy a fully automatic. You could have an AR-15 that's fully automatic. You can't go buy that. That's not legal. Right? But how is it okay to, if we do that restriction, why can't we make this other restriction?
Right.
I don't understand.
I'm wondering if things are going to change now. Well, first of all, we have these young people who are speaking out and saying we are going to be the last. But once the New York Times did that article kind of calling out all these lawmakers who are getting a lot of money from the NRA, it seems to have resulted in a new awakening. Do you agree with me? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a viral video of a guy who's owned an AR-15 for 30 years, has the Second Amendment tattooed on his arm, and today he sawed off the barrel of the gun. He says he's done with it. So maybe people who are so dedicated to it and loved it are you know, maybe changing their thoughts a little bit now.
Here is one of the attendees in the L.A. rally today. This is Jamie Gallo explaining why she's there.
We're here because we have a right to go to school, and because we have a right to go to school without fear of death. And without fear of our friends dying, and our parents have the right to send us to school without fear of us dying. Me and my friends, we chose to stand up, and instead of like wallowing in our sadness, we chose to fight, and we're choosing to fight and to say something.
It's going to be a march in Washington coming up too. So this is a moment, and let's just face it: this is the NRA is not protecting gun rights; it's protecting this particular weapon. And and it's not just one manufacturer that makes it. It's a style of weapon that is made by a number of different manufacturers. This really is about commerce here. Mm-hmm. And there are times in our society which we have stopped and we've thought, well, maybe that's not the best thing. And it's not taking guns away from, and we're never going to get the ones that are out there off the streets necessarily. Mm-hmm. But this is just about trying to keep. I mean, this kid went out and legally bought 10 guns, and he's. And, you know, you said today you were interviewing on Fox, right, on mm-hmm. Fox 32. You were interviewing a bunch of people, or you had this one particular woman about this and about the issue. People want to say that this is about mental illness. I mean, this is not a diagnosably mentally ill young man.
No, he's not. She said he was able to plan everything out methodically, and he had a history of a personality disorder. He did not have a mental illness, that he had a history of starting out with being violent with animals, which she says is a sign that they are not sympathetic toward other people, and has narcissistic tendencies. So she was saying a lot of people are easy to say it's mental health, but she's saying these are personality disorders that we need to deal with, that we're not dealing with. And what I thought was most fascinating was she was saying that it's interesting how this crosses the racial lines. If it is an African-American person, it's gang-related. If it's a Muslim, it's terrorism. If it's a white male, it's mental health. So something here is not right.
Right. Because that guy, first of all, this kid actually attended a white supremacist camp for training, for tactical training, when the revolution comes, because that's part of their whole deal.
Right.
And, you know, they go out and they call each other sergeant, and they go out into the woods and they pretend that they have to, you know, live there till they attack the citadel again. That's their whole thing. And you know, you can make the same argument that that's the way that ISIS was recruiting their people. And that's when the guy, the Orlando shooter, declared his allegiance to ISIS. This kid was declaring his allegiance to his own wacky supremacist views. They're all crazy. Mm-hmm. That guy in Orlando is crazy. He's not a religious zealot. He's a nut. Right? And so is this kid. And the church shooter in Texas. And again, what do we do about it? And you can say, well, yeah, at least the guy in Texas was subdued by another guy with a good guy with a gun.
I'm hoping, though, that we are seeing a moment, like you said. We've got these young kids who are saying, this is going to stop here. We have groups now organizing, including a PAC in Illinois, that is calling out people who support the NRA and those lawmakers who are not getting money from the NRA. So the fingers are starting to be pointed now, and I wonder now that that's happening, if that'll get people's attention.
It's not just the money that the lawmakers get from the NRA. They don't want to be. They're afraid that they're going to get primaried by the NRA, that the NRA is going to find somebody who's going to run against them. They're going to fund that person so that that the incumbent will lose their job. And that's a reality, because they've done that for over and over and over again. And that's what scares these guys. So that's the men and women. So that's the real issue here. Mm-hmm. All right. Stay right there. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, we continue on here at the top 5 at 5. We didn't get very far, and this is Sylvia Perez's fault, who's filling in for Anna DeVlantis today.
My fault.
Mm-hmm. Checking in at
number 4.
Rex Tillerson appeared on 60 Minutes last night to assure the nation that he is going to do the very best job that he possibly can addressing North Korea's nuclear situation.
Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said, every one of us should pray Rex Tillerson and Jim Mattis are successful over the course of the next 8 to 10 months diplomatically, or our nation is going to be facing one of the greatest military decisions that we face. 8 to 10 months. That's how much time you have to get this done?
I'm going to use all the time available to me. Our diplomatic efforts will continue until that first bomb drops. My job is to never have a reason for the first bomb to drop.
That does not make me feel better. Mm. But Secretary Tillerson, did you actually call the president an effing moron?
Why didn't you deny calling the president a moron?
You know, that's a really old question.
You understand that by not answering the question, some people thought you were confirming the story.
I think I've answered the question.
You think you answered the question?
I've answered the question.
Did you call the president a moron?
I'm not going to dignify the question. We got so many bigger issues that we could be talking about. I'm not from this town. I understand this town likes to talk about a lot of things that are really not important.
Yeah, no, everybody likes to talk about that. Did you call your boss, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, who a lot of other Americans have called him the exact same thing? Did you, in fact, call him that? That is not by not answering the question. If you didn't, of course I didn't say that. Right? It's a very simple thing. Not, I won't dignify the question. Well, why would you dignify any question? What's the color of the sky? I won't dignify that question. Oh, sexy Rexy. He was so close. Checking in at
number three.
LeBron James sat down with ESPN to talk about issues and athlete brands. He says that many brands and corporate partnerships have changed their approach when it comes to hearing what the athletes actually say publicly.
No matter how far money or access or how you become in life as an African-American man, female, they will always try to figure out a way to let you know that you're still beneath them. And it's either one or two things at that point. You either cave in to that notion or you just chalk it up and say, you know what? I'm going to paint over this gate and I'm going to make it taller.
Well, I have found this to be the case, as in any kind of an anybody, as a doughy white guy. I found this to be true, and I'm sure that women of all stripes, men of all stripes find this to be true. When people are paying you money, they demand certain things, and sometimes they don't treat you like a partner. They treat you like you work for them. And that's just kind of the way that goes. Although I found this very interesting. Now, you know, he's in that public kerfuffle with Laura Ingraham from Fox News Channel. And, you know, she was like, just shut up and dribble. Which is, I mean, how schoolyardy. Again, really, is there going to be a point in which we get out of third grade here in this country? Mm-hmm. But she now, and he was like, I'm not going to shut up and dribble. He's, first of all, worth $1 billion, by the way, close to $1 billion. And I know that, you know, maybe for Laura Ingraham, who thinks that Donald Trump is a genius because he's worth $4 billion or so he claims, that maybe that means something to her. But now she's invited him on her show.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was just about, yeah, I got your attention now.
Right.
Would you like to come on my show? Oh, God. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Welcome to the year 2018, when political journalists find themselves turning to Celebrity Big Brother to find out what's actually happening in Washington. Oh, my God. Omarosa continues. She won't let it go,
okay,
will she?
What does she say
How
now?
Often is this? Is this show on like every night? How often is show on? 3 times a week.
No, that
yes.
much? Really?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Well, that's because Julie Chen has to have something to do.
She's on the talk.
Yeah, okay. There are benefits to marrying the boss. Anyway, the point is, I got to figure out how Todd's going to let me marry him. I don't know how that's going to happen. All right, anyway, should I just let this speak for itself, or do I have to set it up? All right, hold on, I got to set this up. All right, here we go. She's been enjoying her notoriety. And especially amongst her fellow competitors in the Big Brother house. She was taken aback when her fellow contestant, Real Housewife of Beverly Hills alum Brandi Glanville, asked her.
Did you ever sleep with him?
With who?
Well,
hell no. Oh my God, Brandi, that's horrible.
Apparently a lot of girls do.
Well, I'm not. Now there is somebody in the way who's sleeping around with everybody, but she is not me.
Wait. What is she acknowledging there?
There's somebody in the White House who's
sleeping around. But not with Trump. So she's not saying that.
She said with everybody.
With everybody. Well, I think we kind of know who she might be alluding to, since it ended up in the Bob Mueller. She found her way twice into the Bob Mueller investigation. And one time for herself, and then two times for two other guys she was dating. Oh, I don't know. These poor kids.
Ugh.
I know. She's like Violetta's age.
Who?
Hope Hicks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. And quite honestly, do I really? I didn't want to have to care about Omarosa when it didn't count. Right? Why do I have to? Why does it have to count now?
She keeps making news on that show.
Well, she does because she was there. Because they put her in the White House.
She sounds jealous.
Because Donald Trump won the election. Did you hear this? Hold on.
Number one.
Oh, boy. We played a little bit of this earlier. You know, it's a big thing to be invited to, you know, a major event, an All-Star game or a Super Bowl or something, to sing the national anthem. And sometimes the stage just gets really too big. And sometimes you decide, well, I got to do something different. Because especially the NBA All-Star game, because as you'll recall, one of the most famous renditions of the national anthem, Marvin Gaye, right, doing the sexual healing version of it, which is, I mean, an absolute classic. But Marvin Gaye got away with it. He couldn't get away with it. He did it, was different enough, and it was beautifully performed. And even though there were a lot of people that were like, well, that's not appropriate, but it was so interesting. Had there been a couple other attempts? Fergie's was not one of them.
Oh, say, does that star spangled banner yet wave?
Oh, God.
For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Oh, God. Make it stop.
Just stick to the script with the anthem.
You see the players like trying not to laugh?
Yeah.
And then when you try to make yourself not laugh, you laugh even harder?
You guys are saying that because she's a girl.
No.
Marvin Gaye got away with changing it because he didn't make it sexy.
But it was good. That was the difference.
Well, do we have the Marvin Gaye version if we're going to talk about
this? Hold on. We have the Bleeding Gums Murphy version from The Simpsons, which I think is about the same.
And the rockets red glare. The bombs burst, exuded out, popping whip in the air.
See, but that was, see, that was satire.
Right.
See, that was supposed to be bad. That was on The Simpsons. Who also predicted that Donald Trump was going to be president of the United States, as you'll recall.
Yes.
In 2000, they predicted that. All right. I just got to... I'll play the Marvin Gaye thing on the other side. Okay. So that you can actually hear what that... Because that was good. See? And we're going to prove Violetta wrong here, which is not hard to do.
The top five at five.
Oh, that's some old school Saturday Night Live music right there. Right now, 19th and 20th callers rip us each off for a pair of tickets to come see the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis performing from the Saturday Night Live stage at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in downtown Chicago. And that is going to be on Monday, the 5th of March, which is 2 weeks from today. It's almost March. Sylvia, it's almost March.
No, time flies.
I know. We'll be doing news and ruse from the original Jeopardy set. It's going to be a ton of fun. Wait till you see this thing. Callers number 19 and 20. Pair of tickets each, right there. And more, another chance to win coming up in the next hour as well. Excuse me. I have a little trouble with my horn. All right. A couple different things here. First of all, the Blackhawks have made the decision, as you've just been hearing, mm-hmm. Kevin report. that the Blackhawks made a decision to ban the fans who were at the game on Saturday night who were taunting, based on a racial stereotype, the African-American player for the Washington Capitals. Actually, is African-American or African-Canadian?
It's a good question. Yes. I don't know how they identify.
Because I know that, that there are many of the African,
he is from Canada.
Yeah, African Canadian. No. We like to say African American here, but it's mm-hmm. Okay, let's just the way that we should define this is the black guy in the team, because there aren't in the NHL there are an increasing number of athletes who are coming from the United States and Canada who are black, right? Mm-hmm. And it's great. This is the point of, especially in America. This is the point of the United States of America, is that everybody has a chance to do whatever it is that they want to do. And if a family, because becoming a hockey player is it's on the family to make sure that happens. I mean, I think that's true in most sports, but more so in hockey than almost anything else, because of travel hockey and all of that.
Very dedicated. Yep.
You have to have a family support unit that takes you that can afford to get you the equipment, to get you to the coaches, to get you on the teams, on the traveling teams. Sometimes you give up your kids for, you know, months at a time while they go live with another family somewhere in southern Canada for reasons. I mean, especially to be at that level of hockey, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And so that requires a definite entrance into a middle class life, into an upper middle class life, and so that's I think a beautiful thing. When you see the thing that ticked me off, I mentioned this earlier today on the Windy City Live. This drives me nuts. The one crazy thing from this Olympic year so far was the stupid editorial that the Fox News executive put out, where he was decrying the fact that the Olympics were marking themselves as darker and gayer and just different than past games, because there are more on the American team. Mm-hmm. There are more people of color and they're openly gay athletes and stuff like that. To me, that's a sign. It's not, and you know, progress has become a four-letter word here, but this is just a sign of you know, the maturity of our culture. That's where we are. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. There's a speed skater. Did you see the story?
Yeah.
Last night she was on. There's a speed skater. She's a short track sprinter, speed skater. Just been speed skating for three years. And she actually has cut like 10 seconds off of her time in the last 9 months.
Right? That's incredible.
In like, from 39 to 28 seconds or something like that. I mean, this is what America's all about, right? That's why we're the big beacon to the world.
But, you know, you say that's a sign of maturity, and I agree with you, but there are still a lot of people out there who look at this with a religious, critical eye.
Well, they're wrong.
Yes, they are.
How many times I have to call those people wrong?
Yeah,
they're wrong.
But they exist. And they are vocal.
Yes.
Yes.
They're still wrong. Mm-hmm. But why can't we call them out for being wrong?
We can. We
should. And all right. So now these mopes that were at the United Center on Saturday night that were trying to taunt the guy in the penalty box. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated, because I got to tell you something. To get banned from a hockey game, to get banned from going to an NHL game, you have to do some jacked up stuff.
That's so true.
To be able to get banned by a team for attending. Because I've been going to Chicago Blackhawks games and Chicago Cougars games, for those of all of us who are old enough to remember that, my whole life.
Fear the Cougars.
Oh, God. The stuff I saw in the stands at the amphitheater, and I was a little kid, right? And I would just, me and my Cub Scout troop, sitting there at a Cougars game.
Earmuffs, little row. Earmuffs. Don't listen to the man behind you.
There was
beer.
No earmuffs. First of all, my dad was smoking cigars and lighting them with gasoline rags, and then hey, you kids. There was no earmuffs. You heard and saw everything at Hawks games, and this was until relatively recently. Especially at the old stadium, you'd see fights break out. Mm-hmm. You talk to players. I've talked to Dennis Savard about this. They used to stop and in amazement and watch the fights, not on the ice, but up in the stands in those games. Then they started winning, and it became a very fancy ticket to get. And now that they've, you know, they've essentially blown their position in the playoffs for the last two seasons, and having a rough season this year, a lot of people are selling off their tickets on the secondary market, and you're getting a different crowd than you had over the last number of years there. And so these are people who are not very respectful that were sitting, these four guys that were sitting around the penalty box. You can taunt. That's the whole point of the penalty box, is to taunt the guy, right? That's if you went to Philadelphia, you know, they're going to be saying a lot of in the penalty box to, if the, you know, the Hawks are there, one of the guys get, there's all kinds of taunting, but there really isn't a place, especially given the nature of what's happening here right now, there really isn't a place for the racial talent of, like, you should be playing basketball, which is essentially what they were saying to this guy.
I love that the Blackhawks have put their foot down and they're doing something about this. Apparently, Quenneville has apologized to the other team and said it was unacceptable. The people who are accused of doing this, you can clearly see who they are. So if you know them, you know exactly who it was, because the camera was right on them. They were right on front. So I think they're going to be hearing a lot about this.
And there's an African-American player on the Blackhawks,
right,
and Anthony
exactly.
Duclair. I mean, that's your team? You're making that joke? Unbelievably stupid.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're really a Hawks fan, you know, when Dustin Byfuglien was as, you know, prominent a player as he was in that 2010 run, right? I mean, how would you feel if he were in Philadelphia or Detroit or anywhere else, and somebody was doing that to him? Especially when you know the stories of some of these young men, right? Dustin Byfuglien, again, he's that story that I'm talking about, where, you know, his mom's taking him to the rink at 3 o'clock in the morning to get ice time in northern Minnesota, in the farthest reaches of Minnesota. I mean, it is basically southern Canada, even though it's got a U.S. postal zip, right? It's like, it's the you know, the stories of how these guys, anybody in the NHL gets to the NHL, it's a perilous journey. And to be able to do that. And to me, you know, it's sort of like, you know, everybody's got a big mouth when they're sitting on the other side of the glass from them. They're just idiots.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm reading some of the quotes from Duclair. He says that that every black NHL player has been subjected to some sort of racism, and that he is just happy that these people were caught on camera and that DeVoe actually spoke out. So that's why they're paying the price. They were caught on camera, but this goes on behind the camera all the time, and they just happen to get caught.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Good call by the Hawks, though.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people wanted to see this for the past couple days.
I think athletes, I mean, you know, you go back, you hear these stories about whether it was Jackie Robinson or Ernie Banks, had stories, Billy Williams, you know, from his career, had stories, Chicago greats. Now you think less of it, but it still happens in Major League sports. You know, because people, you got haters who just want to hate. I hate to have to, you know, quote
a little Tay-Tay,
Taylor Swift here, the wise sage Taylor Swift, but they are going to just hate. And that's it says more about them. I know it's hard because they're so rough and they're so, but think about the loserness of that. Think about what goes on, and that's the way they get pleasure. And how stupid is that? What kind of life is that?
Plus, if that's the only thing you have to complain about, the team you're probably playing is really good.
Well, and again, Anthony Duclair is an African-American on the Blackhawks, and he said, quote, "It's obviously a white sport, and you just want to go out there and compete, but there's obviously some ignorant people in the world." I agree with that.
You know, it's like the guy who's speeding and taking that side lane on the expressway when he's not supposed to, and you're hoping the police are around to catch him. That's what this is. You know, these people got caught, but this happens all the time. Things like this happen all the time.
All right. Well, Blackhawks have done the... By the way, I want to say something else the Blackhawks did. I put this up on Twitter yesterday. Did you see that on Saturday night's game, before Saturday night's game, they reserved a locker for Commander Paul Bauer and put an NHL, you know, their jersey up with his name and the number 18 for this year and his district and his command, which is and they put that in the locker on before the game. And it's one of the most stirring images. And again, it's just, you know, about connection to the community. And then unfortunately, these morons were, you know, doing what they were doing when, you know, in a moment where Chicago is raw right now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you know what I think? I know you can find this hard to believe. I think alcohol might have been involved in this too. Always takes it on the nose of situations like this. promise this for the youngsters because there, you know, there's this great debate about whether Fergie behaved properly at the NBA All-Star game last night in her performance of the national anthem.
Charles Barkley said he needed a cigarette after the performance.
Yeah, because yeah, it was sexy in a way that when grandma's had a few too many and she decides she wants to, you know, hit on the granddaughter's boyfriend. Was that sort of sexy? You know, I mean, that's
because that happens in every.
Well, I've been there for that, so I don't know. It's it gets kind of weird.
Babe alert.
Yeah. Or, you know, the mom gets, you know, like it's like the 60-ish kind of mom who decides that she's going to hit on the, you know,
cougar,
the 38-year-old guy at the party. That's the guy. That's sort of the feeling that I got at this when I was watching this. And, you know, and Fergie's an attractive, you know, she's a star of stage and screen. And yet can we just have a little bit more of the Fergie? Can I just, it just didn't seem right.
Does that star spangled banner yet wave?
You're picking the worst part.
I was going to say, he queued it up to the perfect spot, didn't he?
Doesn't matter.
You can't ignore that part.
That's
right.
All bad.
You can't take that out of the whole song. You take that out of the whole song, and then you've kind of ruined it.
Just don't get cute with the anthem. You know what I mean?
I get
in
that.
There, belt it out in 2 minutes, get out, and we salute the flag and let's move
what
on.
What I'm saying, though, other people have changed it, like the next clip you're going to play, that you think it's appropriate. And I think it's more appropriate because it's a male changing it.
Oh,
I don't think there's not a problem that she changed it. It's just, it's bad.
It wasn't good.
She didn't
exactly.
change it good. You could change it, but it sounds terrible.
All right, so here's the Marvin Gaye one that people are saying, well, Marvin Gaye changed it, and he's a man, so that's okay.
Well, he made it sexy.
Can you see by the dawn? What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars.
So there you go.
See, I thought that was awful as well.
Okay.
I did not enjoy that at all. I agree with Judy. It wasn't a sexy thing for me. It was just that it wasn't good. I didn't like Marvin Gaye's either.
1983, there was hell and fury for that, too. And part of it was that where people were applauding during it and screaming out during it.
And that's disrespectful.
Unless you've been to a Hawks game, in which case it's all that goes on. Right?
Well, they were applauding him saying the words for the wrong reasons, making them sexy instead of...
I didn't think he was being sexy at all. He was just being Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. Is there any? Yeah, he was just born to be sexy.
Yeah, right.
Just, can't help it. Some people just can't help it.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Dylan, I know.
Fergie would have been sexy even if she didn't dress it up. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Exactly.
Really?
Like,
really? You know? You think Fergie was sexy?
Yeah, she's got a thing.
Ooh.
You guys don't.
That?
Not that part. Play the beginning part.
Her physical appearance.
She's saying she would have been sexy. She didn't need to do that.
Yes. Right. Even if she didn't do all that part, I think she still would have been sexy if she just did it straight. Either way.
Okay. So I have something to throw in here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Since you guys are so good at turning these things quickly, it came down earlier that Roseanne Barr is saying that Fergie's national anthem performance was actually worse than her 1990 rendition. Do you remember that one that caused quite the stir?
I do.
And she spit at the end. Remember that?
Yep.
Now, the youngsters don't remember that one, but that...
I saw she tweeted about it, but I don't.
She grabbed her crotch and spit, which was...
America.
But you know what's so funny about this now is that, like, half the female performers that you see on stage grab their crotch now. Right? Back then, it was... But watching Roseanne do it back in 1990, that was not so much fun. It was that same effect, I don't think. Here's Roseanne Barr.
I'll say, can you see?
All right, enough of that. Okay. All right. And people started booing her there.
Even the President of the United States said it was a disgrace.
Where was that at?
It was at a Padres game, 1990 Padres game.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Whose idea
but
was
see,
that?
Don't you think she was trying to be funny? That was her gimmick. You know, she was just.
Right, but it's the national, it's national anthem.
Right, yeah. But I mean, that was different. Fergie, I don't think was. I don't think she was trying to be disrespectful or funny. She just sang it very poorly.
I would just like to say something. That how quaint it was that Sylvia just said, and the president called it a disgrace back in 1990. That was George H.W. Bush.
Right.
That's if you called something a disgrace in 1990 mm-hmm. as the president of the United States,
that was
a very impactful, powerful, meaning thing. Once an hour, something is a disgrace.
Right.
To the president of the United States. Think about that. That's just true. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him get up and sing the national anthem. Fergie, I loved it.
Some are calling it the greatest national anthem of all time.
Oh, God. Oh, we also have Carl Lewis. Oh, this was bad. Now, the problem here is that there was nothing. Like, Roseanne Barr was accused of doing it intentionally, trying to be disrespectful. Fergie trying to be sexy, and it ended up being disrespectful. There was a lot of confusion about Marvin Gaye, or there's a lot of people say, well, he was trying, it was un-American or anti-American, what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And he was just really just trying to promote sexual healing, which was out right around that time. Right?
Jam.
Yeah, exactly. How many babies do you think that song made? But, then there was Carl Lewis, Olympian.
Right.
this didn't, oh God.
Oh, say can you see, and the rocket red flag. Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now.
Wait, where was that?
He's trying to keep the audience with him, like, hold on.
I got this.
That was just one little misstep. Give me a second
hold
here.
Hold on a second. I'm a sprinter. I can fix this.
This will all be fine.
One more triple jump. Hold on.
I'll fix all of this.
That was at a, I think also at a baseball game. What was that? That was a basketball game? Oh, God.
A 93 finals.
Okay.
So they've been the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Bulls game.
Oh, no. How did I not remember that?
Exactly, right?
Oh, that would have been at the old stadium.
Thank God Michael Jordan erased that from your memory.
Oh. Oh, yeah. God.
See, and the Rockets.
Uh-oh. Oh, I didn't mean that to come out.
Well, wait a minute. Who hired him to sing?
Was that right, Utah? Like- would that have been in Utah? I think it might have been.
Oh, no, 93 was Phoenix. Phoenix and
right.
93. 91 was Los Angeles. 92 was
Portland.
Portland. 93 was right, Phoenix.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, I'll even forgive him because he's so cute saying that. Uh oh. Right. At least he knows. Fergie, she believed it.
He was like, he like scared himself with that. Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Where did that come out of?
What was that?
Does that star spangled banner yet?
I feel like she's a showgirl.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God.
Hey, I know someone who loved it.
Okay,
I did, too.
I'm sorry, what?
I know someone who loved it.
Who would that have been?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh.
Apparently defending Fergie, saying, Fergie, leave my Fergie alone. Fergie, I love you. It was different. It was sexy.
I love you, Fergie.
Shaquille.
You married now. I love you, Fergie.
Have you seen
Fergalicious.
By the way, my feet hot. I got salon paws on my feet.
What is it? Shaquille, is he... is there anything that he is not selling right now?
He's got car commercials, skin ointments.
It is Shaq for reverse mortgages.
He is not doing reverse mortgage.
Your parents can't afford their house, get a Shaq reverse mortgage.
Oh, God. He's got a movie coming out? Will it be as good as Shazam 2 or whatever the thing is? What was the thing he was in?
Yeah, Shazam.
Shazam, yeah.
Classic. He's also in Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Or Kazam. Kazam,
yeah. Yeah.
Blue Chips, great movie.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of any of
this. Anyway, well, Fergie has... Fergie's released a statement, I'm told here.
If you have to release a statement after your anthem, that's not a good sign.
I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. I'm a risk taker, artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone.
Swing and a miss.
I love this country, and I honestly tried my best.
That was a good effort.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be, that's the thing.
At least she apologized.
There's only one, I think, at the end
Wait,
of the
did
day.
Did she apologize?
Yeah, it's kind of an
apology. She didn't hit the target.
It's not really an apology, but you're both right. It's not really an apology as much as it is an admission that it didn't go as well as she had planned.
An understanding.
Yeah. I thought it was this, turned out to be that.
Bad
oh, God.
Number,
yeah.
Can we hear Carl Lewis again?
Oh.
I like when he scares himself in the middle of the anthem.
And the Rockets! Uh-oh.
All right.
Poor Fergie.
Yeah, poor Fergie. Mm-hmm. Well, she tried.
She will be haunted by this for the rest of her life.
Yeah,
she had a good run.
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Is it that we know one of those things, like you win the Oscar, you're always, right. It's the first line of your obit. This now kind of works her way up. Yeah. It works into the second sentence of the obituary. Grammy Award winning singer, songwriter came to prominence with the Black Eyed Peas.
Right.
Fresh yeah. Frozen Peas with the Black Eyed Peas.
Who's known for
an infamous
yes.
performance of the national anthem, mm-hmm. the 2018 NBA All-Star game.
Even
Carl Lewis won 9 gold medals, so when you Google his name, the first thing that pops up is national anthem fan.
And the Rockets! Red Fan!
Uh-oh. Everyone was like, whoa, is he okay?
Wait, I still don't understand. Can someone tell me why he was asked to sing the national anthem? Is he a singer, too?
Apparently not.
I think Carl Lewis was at a point in his career where he was like an everyman. He was in everything. You know, he'd come back, right? He like won. He was an athlete that they said was past his prime, and he came back, and he continued on. Didn't he try to change sports at one point, too? He was a track athlete.
Yes, I think you're
didn't
right.
Didn't he try to play professional... Yeah.
Baseball or
something.
Yeah.
Or football or something. He tried something.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like the national anthem should be like the seventh inning stretch where anyone can
right.
sing it.
Right.
Thank
hey,
you.
Coach Ditka, you want to do the anthem for us?
Oh.
No.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
That's kind of what it is. Just get a local celebrity. He could do the stretch. Where's John Cusack?
Oh, God. All right. Nobody here is going to be singing the national anthem for that. Sylvia Perez is in for Anna DeVlantis today on the 720, the W, the G, and the N. And thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. We'll come right back. I want to talk about there's something I saw at the Olympics last night that I can't quite figure out. This is a very... I love the idea of the Olympics.
Yes.
And I do get caught up in mm-hmm. caring about things I didn't think I was ever going to care about. Mm-hmm. And people, like, at what point in my life in the last 2 weeks did I think I would care about whether Michaela Schifrin is going to actually, you know, nail it mm-hmm. in a downhill? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that name 2 weeks ago.
Don't you love critiquing some of these races that, you know, you don't even have the energy to barely go over and turn the TV on and they're out there killing themselves and we're critiquing them.
Right. Oh, that wasn't very good. Yeah. But I found something kind of fascinating in this Winter Olympic Games. And it's not just the North Korean cheerleaders who are freaking me out. How many of those are not going home? That's what I want to know. All right, we'll get to all of that. But first, Judy is standing by. She's got WGN News coming your way in 2 little minutes. some more tickets to come join us on Monday, the 5th of March, for our big Saturday Night Live show at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in downtown Chicago, the State and Kinsey.
And you get to see all the stages. It's so cool.
It is. It's going to be super cool. And we're going to do our show from there. We're going to play News-a-Roos on the actual Jeopardy set from Saturday Night Live. Cool. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And there's going to be food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be a lot of stuff. It's going to, and we have it all to ourselves. Limited audience. We can bring in only a select number of people into this. But we're going to make it a party, and the museum is closed on this Monday, and we're just going to it's like a night at the museum.
This is exciting.
It's like Saturday after hours.
Saturday Night Live style.
I like that.
Yeah.
Monday night party.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be pie and coffee from Bang Bang Pie and biscuits.
Pie, coffee, biscuits. Who doesn't want that? Bang Bang Pie?
We'll have pie and coffee from Bang Bang Pie. Okay. That's what it says right there. All right. Caller number 19, caller number 20, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 rips us off for our bang bang.
Pie.
Okay. I was going to ask you folks if you are as concerned as I am about the ice dancing competition tonight in the
Shib-sibs, right?
If the Shib-sibs are going to be able to finally crack their right now, there's five teams competing, five pairs competing, and the Shib-sibs are one of them. The Shibitani siblings. It's cute but creepy all at the same time, yeah. Isn't it? Because yes. The ice dancing is kind of a little sexy.
It is
isn't
a little
it?
Sexy, yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a little something going on there. And then, and they're like, they're like siblings, and I'm a little, because like, more so than probably any of the other pairs kinds of things that go on in the Olympics, well, I guess it's just figure skating when I think about it, but, you know, it turns out that the pairs tend to end up falling in love and marrying each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Hopefully these don't.
And, right, and often, like, you've got this, this, like, Canadian couple. That there was one couple that were dating. They hated each other when they got put together. Then they fell in love. They were dating. Then they broke up. And now they're just best friends.
Mm-hmm. We're just friends.
Yeah. But you could tell when there's sexual energy.
Yeah. But deep down, they hate each other.
But I think the Shib-sibs, if you watch them closely tonight, they are very careful about their moves. I've noticed that. Because I'm like you. I'm like, okay, this is really cute, but yeah, it can be it's just kind of crossing the line just a bit, right?
You're all over each other. Hands all over each other.
No.
No, I think Sylvia is 100% right about this. Sylvia Perez, by the way, and for Anna DeVlantis today, that they are, you know, whereas, you know, there's a lot of like facial touching and things like that. I don't know. Are you allowed to touch in the face? Because there are rules about this.
Well, you've got to twizzle a certain way.
Right. And you can only hold each other. You can only like get off the ice for fewer than 6 seconds.
You can't throw each other more than 6 inches off the ground.
Right. Exactly. There's like a whole thing. Although there is this one moment in the move where she gets up on top of the guy and puts her skate like in his like the crook of his hip. And you're like, oh my God.
Ow.
I know. How sharp is that thing? And don't slip. I don't know.
Sound like Carl Lewis. Scream on.
Uh-oh. I don't know what to make of this. And then this is my favorite story out of the Olympics so far. That the International Olympic Committee has just found that there's doping going on at these Olympics by the Russian athletes.
What?
By curlers.
The curlers.
Why do curlers need to dope?
That's my question.
Right?
Why what is it? I guess that very awkward, elongated pose that they have to be in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like one skate, like you're kneeling and then one skate's behind you.
Yeah, because I don't think you're supposed to have your knee touch the ice. Did you know that? That's what Brittany Payton was telling me. She went out there to try it. No, she's not a curler, but she went out there to try it. And she said one of the big things is you don't want your knee really touching the ice.
I think
so try that.
Half the media members in Chicago have gone curling. Every day I see a new news report. Yeah. It's like, hey.
There's a curling place on Randolph, right?
Yeah, that's where she went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one in Northbrook that's big.
I have never curled.
I feel
just
like
my
I'm
hair.
Curling every time I Swiffer the house. I'm fine.
Yeah. That's,
do you do that? Do you get down like sort of right to the ground and then you reach out as far as
there's a dirty
you possibly
spot,
can?
Yeah. Gotta get close and make sure.
Oh no, you're the. I'm talking about the actual the tosser of the curl. What
oh,
is
no,
that?
I was talking about the person.
Is there a name for it?
Yeah. Oh, the person who
I don't pay attention to curling.
The
so.
Person who throws it. Well, here's the other thing I want to point out that Norway right now has like 36 medals total,
blowing everyone out of the water.
Yeah, and America's got 10, and you're like, what other sports are we not seeing on television?
That's true.
Right? Yeah. Because it's like because they're winning everything, and you're like, well, I don't see them winning anything. Who? What are they winning?
NBC is controlling the coverage, so we only see so much.
Right. And you can tell that, and because it's a 13-hour time difference, which kind of screws you up.
It's not as fun as a result.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Because it's, and you can tell that they're setting you up. They set up a storyline because they've already done the voiceover after they know what the results are.
But so. I will say a lot of this stuff has worked out where it's prime time,
the time
here.
No, yeah, true.
Like a lot of skiing, the downhill stuff you've been able to watch.
Yeah, but it's like 7 o'clock in the morning there. What are they doing?
Right.
Yeah, well, it's athletes.
Get it done early. But it hasn't been as tough for me to follow. I thought it was going to be a lot harder, but I think the way it's lined up, a lot of the stuff has been in prime time in the States.
Well, they have to. Otherwise, it would really be the worst Olympics
of all
time.
But live, I mean. Not necessarily
in fact, I wondered about that because it's such a big moneymaker for the Olympic Committee if that is part of when some of these things are scheduled, right?
Oh, for sure. Because America is...
We are a huge contributor. The biggest.
American television, right.
I'm actually watching curling right now. They just got it in the circle in the middle. I've never seen that before.
Well, isn't that the whole point of it?
No, but like dead in the middle.
Bullseye.
I don't know. Bullseye. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Oh my God! I wonder if the next guy's going to hit it out. It's stressful.
You can get Adam Hoge, our sports reporter. He's like a diehard curler. He's in a league and everything. Maybe he could explain it to us eventually.
There are 102 separate events,
most ever for an Olympic
in the Winter Olympics.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 102.
How many of those do you think you could do, Ro?
Zero. There are 11 different alpine skiing, 11 different biathlon. That's what that means. That's the shooting thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you take the and then you go. You
ski and
they cross country ski. Then they ski, drop then down on their stomach and try pull out a gun from their hip and try to hit the target.
Yeah, I
think skiing for me has been the most fun to watch and has been the downhill skiing. How fast they're going!
Well,
it's crazy.
I you know what I'm like a traditionalist. So when the X Games stuff, like the snowboarding and then the thing where they have to ride on a rail and then they have to jump across a thing and a deal, I was never for that because I was like, oh, that damn kids! Back in my day, Hans Klammer went down a mountain and we liked it. But now, Franz Klammer, whatever the guy's name was. But now you've got this whole other weird world in which they've the snowboarders and it sort of looks a little like the what is snow slope style or whatever they call it, where you have to jump up onto
a rail, like skateboarding.
Yeah,
right, on skis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? When do you ever need to do that unless you're a vandal? When do you have to do that? And then then when they get up in the air and the half pipe and all that is great.
Mm-hmm. The half pipe, I love watching that. It's so nerve wracking, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
So now, why do they make them do that though in skis? It's only fun. It's not as much fun when they're doing it in skis as when they're doing it in a snowboard.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the snowboard cross, which is essentially a race, but there's like ramps and stuff they have to jump off of. It's like NASCAR for snowboarders. And the guys are kind of bumping each other a little bit. It's basically a race downhill start to finish.
Right. If you get wiped out, you're done.
Yeah, right.
There is.
It's like Daytona 500 on the snow.
Then last night, were you watching this late last night where the guys, that ski jump thing, where they go straight up and then they have to twist in the air?
Yeah.
And it was, the Americans were coming in like 100th and 101st.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, this is not
a bad show.
This is just not for us.
I know, this is not our year.
You want us to do what?
But it was this is crazy stuff because they ski down the ramp and then they go straight up another ramp and then they're like 60 feet in the air.
Okay, I missed that one.
Flipping around and then they got to land. They don't have anything in their hands. They just got to land on their two skis. And people were just wiping out left and right. But it was between two Russians and a Ukrainian. And then they had to wait for the Chinese guy. And the Chinese guy nailed it. But then they didn't give the Chinese guy the win. And I swear to God, that World War III was going to break out.
Did the Russian take PEDs midair?
Well, the... Hold on, I have to inject myself! I'm very worried about Lindsey Vonn, though.
Oh, I know.
Very worried about her.
She's getting beat up on social media, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, how many times has she been injured, and she always manages to come back? I hope she gets a medal out of this.
I would just like to ask you this question. When people want to beat up other people, when people are sitting on their couch with their phone in their hands, complaining about some athlete who's worked their entire life, been through multiple surgeries, done all these crazy things, have, you know, at their peak of their abilities. Why do I care about somebody's two thumbs? Right? Who cares? I mean, and the only reason that we pay attention is because they're so mean. They're like, I can't believe somebody said that. Well, that's its own sort of version of pornography, as far as I'm concerned. Damn it, I want an end to it.
I agree with you on that. Okay, you know who one of my sweethearts for this one is? Is it Adam Nippon, the ice skater?
Rippin.
Who NBC had asked to be a commentator, but he said no because that means he couldn't be in the Olympic Village.
Right. Could be with his teammates, even though he's done competing.
He's a star now.
Yeah, once if you took that job, he takes away his status, and he was having too much fun with,
he's so
with all his
cute.
Teammates. And...
All right. Sylvia, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
It's
always fun
to be
here.
You can see the Sylvia Perez.
I'll be on bright and early at 9 a.m.
Chicago tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. on Fox 32.
We'll see you at Violetta's birthday party.
Oh, right. Karaoke. Ready. Okay, Rocket Man for me. I'm an Elton John fan. That's what I'll sing.
Nice.
I want you to bring your credit card then, Sylvia. Then I don't have to bring mine.